The basis of marriage can best be understood from the divine and first performer of the wedding ceremony. If you pick up the Bible as you have in preparing for this lesson, you see that God must be the foundation each individual builds his own life and other relationships on. Next, we must constantly focus on what God says about how we handle every issue that arises rather than letting Satan bother us with his destructive and devilish lies. Each of us in a marriage believes ourselves to be an unusual case. But everyone we talk to has had our travail. You listen to a man's story and you genuinely say, "I'm so sorry." Then you hear the woman's story and equally as sincere you say, "Oh, I see, yes, I see." That is why, my beloved friends in this group, we must compute God as a focal point in these stories. Solutions that stay don't come from zeroing in on ourselves or others. The verses you went over on page 96 emphasize this, especially John 15:5 and John 3:30. We as partners need to get our eyes off each other and on to God. As we begin to discuss the basis of marriage, I realize that I talk to a multiplicity of matches. Perhaps you are an older married with grown children, one son reported dead in the last war crisis, and a wife who has just run away, or you may be in a career marriage. It's been a good marriage for 10 years. Now the husband may be in a national job where he puts the country before the family, or he may be in a church cycle where he puts the congregation before his family. Still yet, you may be the young lovers who have just married and are doing everything you know or hear of to pattern your home in a godly fashion. What does this chapter have to say to each of us? All of these marriages can have something in common. God at the top as the ultimate authority, not selfishness, nor lust, nor greed. At the beginning of your marriage, you may have been basing your hopes in each other. Though you didn't really know the contents, negative or positive, completely, you thought you were getting a wonderful package in a flowing white gown. But when you got the package home, you found you had damaged merchandise. We all have been bruised and damaged somehow, you know. God told us that in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Perhaps God was suggesting a firm foundational support in marriage when he asked us to bear one another's burdens. If we do not obey in this area of burden bearing, then the cold winds of criticism and disappointment may blow to the point of crushing us in our Christian marriages. No matter how firm the foundation, Satan will know if there are secret flaws in the walls of our close union which have been sort of covered over. He can push our spirits down in relationships. You may have read Winnie the Pooh's line to your children, "Oh, bother." Satan is brother bother to the Christian marriage. He will keep us so bogged down and buried under the pile, we'll never really see clearly God's wealth and riches offered us in our mate. The fruit of the Spirit in that person we love and who is following the principles of Ephesians 5:18, which you looked up, could be constantly obscured. Satan knows it is the very fruit of the Spirit that fulfills a life. Has this been a major factor in building your lives together, seeking to draw your mate to yourself so that the joy or peace or love you received as a gift from God can be spilled over into their life? You may look at the fruit-bearing illustration tree on page 96, thinking, "Yes, I long to see and be wooed by attributes which only Jesus can produce. Yet I've let Satan so bother me at the very basis of our relationship that I almost feel as if I've ended up with something more like a pecan tree full of nuts." Jesus has the capacity to take the mess, however bad it is, that we think we have or that we are actually involved in, and manufacture with it a message of joy. Not only are we bothered by Satan at the very core of our marriages, but men and women today are also bored and broken and busy. Yet I urge you to take some time alone with yourself and sit down and think about your role as a man. If you didn't have time to make out the list on page 97 and 98, consider doing it before you retire tonight. If we disregard ourselves, how can we honestly ask God to teach us how to work at the very basis of our relationships to perfect his qualities in us that we most lack? When we take a penetrating look, we find that women are still little girls and men are still little boys in the happinesses and the sadnesses of life. Men need goals and women never tire of surprises, no matter how far away from the boy or girl we get. So always have a goal. Help each other have a new goal or a new surprise or pleasure. Challenges of life shared in Christ can be the basis of new happiness in our marriage.